I love him. I love him. I love him. Well, praise God. Let's go ahead and get started. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word today with these, your people. I thank you that revelation knowledge is flowing unhindered, unrestricted by satanic forces or demonic hindrances. Lord, I ask that you think through my mind and speak through my vocal cords. You know the needs of these, your people today, not I. Amen. Amen. Well, as you can see, it is a new month. And we know what that means. A new month is a new series. So we're going to talk about living by faith in Jesus. Living by faith in Jesus. So glory to God. So I'm excited about this. So very important teaching. Very important teaching. So let's go ahead and get into it. We're going to start with an introduction. Most of what I'm going to talk about today is laying the groundwork for all that we're going to talk about during my time this month. Then we'll have Pastor Tony share what the Lord's put in our heart. But it's what we're going to talk about. So this scripture really just hit my heart in Psalms 11:3. It says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Jesus is the foundation. Jesus is our foundation. Amen?
Amen.
And so it is important that we understand that. So Jesus is the foundation of our righteousness. Without him, we would be nothing and we would have nothing. This is important for us to understand. We are called to live a holy and godly life through our faith in Christ Jesus. Say that again. We are called to live a holy and righteous life through our faith in Christ Jesus. That's what we are called to do, to live a holy and righteous life. If a person says that they are a Christian and does not understand this, what's that? That we're to live holy and righteous in a godly life before Christ? They don't understand this. They are deceived. Bottom line is they're deceived. This is very important for us to understand this in our life. Jesus came to deliver us from sin and Satan, not to allow to keep us in it. This teaching will bring us back to the simplicity and strength of the gospel, the power of the gospel. The word gospel means good news. So this is going to give us a faith that is unshakable and rooted in what Jesus has already accomplished. I'll say it again. What Jesus has already accomplished. We have a done did gospel. We just walk out what Jesus done already did for us.
Amen.
That's what faith's all about. So it's going to be a foundation of faith in the completed work of Christ Jesus. So it's going to be a good teaching here. Alrighty, foundational working definitions, and I wanted to put understanding. So foundational working definitions and understandings. So you need some things that you got to understand before we proceed into this lesson. So living by faith brings with understanding, living by faith begins with two understandings, two foundational truths, which is substance and faith. These definitions establish the ground we stand on as believers and keep us focused on Jesus and his finished work. So I want to talk about substance for a minute. Alrighty. This is very important to me because when I left the church, the Lord and he brought me back, redeemed me from my backsliding. One of my complaints to him was, Lord, I don't understand why things wasn't working. And he spoke specifically to me. He said, your faith had no substance. So I had faith, but my faith had no substance. And so over the last 3 years, he's been really getting me to see and understand some things. And so now I want to really, really begin to get into it so that I can share that with you. So the simple definition of substance is the real physical. It is real physical matter of which something consists, or you can say it's made of. The essential nature of something. You're sitting in chairs. Those chairs are made of particular substance, material. Okay? So the underlying reality that supports something. So now, with that, Jesus is the Word of God. So the spiritual substance of all things is the Word of God. The spiritual substance of all things, all physical matter, comes from spiritual matter. It comes from God's Word that created all things. So all things is held together and it consists by the Word of God. And Jesus is the living Word of God. So substance is the Word of God, and Jesus is the living Word of God. So he's the substance of our faith. Jesus is the substance of our faith. Alrighty. Continuing on with these foundational working definitions. So the spiritual substance of all things is what? Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. Again, the spiritual substance of all things. So in 1 John 1:14, we're going to do a little reading here. It says, in the beginning was what? The Word. In the beginning was the Word. And it says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was, Jesus. Jesus was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made, how? Through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. So Jesus, the living Word of God, made all things. So can you see that? He is the substance of everything. So he is the substance of our faith. Verse 4 says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Look at verse 6. There was a man sent from God, he's talking about John, whose name was John. They called him John the Baptist. He was baptizing people. This man came from what? For a witness. He came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. So the purpose of his witness is to bear witness of the light, which is Christ, that all might believe. All righty? Verse 8, he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Mm-hmm. That was the true light. Look at that. The true light, which gives light to every man coming in the world. And we've already did a teaching on this, that the light is the life of Christ. It's the life of God that's reignited our torch. Yeah. Glory to God. He ignites our wick. Our spirit comes alive when we give our life to Jesus Christ. All righty? So now, continuing on in 1 John, we're going to pick up at verse 10. It says, and he, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him. So here comes the Word of God that created the world, walking in the world. And they didn't recognize him. All righty? And it says, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many, look at this, what he says here in verse 12. It's written, it says, but as many as received him, as many as received them, as many as received him, to them he gave them the right to become children of God. So to become a child of God, you have to receive Jesus Christ. So anyone that's walking around talking about they believe in God, that's fine. But if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and let him light your torch, the light of all men, if you're not truly born again, you're just flapping your gums and you're deceived. Because a born again person that's walking in their righteousness do not practice sin. They don't have a desire to sin if you're living out of your born again spirit. And you're not looking for excuses to stay in your sinful nature conditions. You're looking for a way out. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus is the way out. Amen. So, look what he says here. He says, let me go back here, 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Notice he didn't say your Baptist traditions, I'm sorry, your religious traditions and systems of men. To those who believe in his name, to those who believe in his name, to those who believe in his name. Who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. 14, where it's talking about the word became flesh, and it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So that's Jesus. The word became flesh and dwelt among us to bring salvation to all of us. Continuing on with some foundational working definitions here. I think that's a double slide. Forgive me. All right, so let's look at faith. Let's look at faith. I've done this. I shared with you what faith is. The simple definition of faith is to believe in someone or something. That is the simple definition of faith. So faith believes in someone or something. So under the new covenant is what Jesus has done for us. The new covenant blood. He shed his blood for us. So under the new covenant, not in bulls and goats, but in Jesus himself, his body that was broken for us, his blood that was shed for us. Faith means believing in what God has provided for us in Jesus. I'm thinking about when they was coming out of Egypt and God began to smite all the firstborn because Pharaoh spoke it. He says, whatever you speak, that's what I'm going to do to you. And so he spoke against the God of heaven. And, you know, and he decided to take all the firstborns of Egypt. But when the death angel came, he told the children of Israel to kill a lamb and spread blood over the doorpost so that the death angel would pass by. So now, Jesus, the blood of Jesus gives us the life of God. But what just came to me was how he told them to eat the lamb, all of it. They ate everything. They ate the entire lamb that night, the Passover. What am I getting at? What I want you to understand is that we're supposed to be feeding on Jesus, not men's rhetoric, not some fancy speech. We need the word of the Lord. We need to eat the words of Jesus. He said his words are life. So you should be feeding on Jesus. What does that mean? You need to be hearing good teachings about him. All right. Faith is the action or act of trusting. Faith is the action of trusting, believing and relying and leaning your entire confidence on Jesus and what he has already accomplished for you through his finished work. That's what new covenant faith is about. It's about believing and trusting in what Jesus has already accomplished for you through his death, burial, and resurrection, through his atonement, through his blood, and who you are because of it. That's what we're to put our faith in. This is important to understand because a lot of people go to church and they don't understand who they are and what Jesus has really done for them. Mm-hmm. It's just glazed over So they can't even give an answer for their salvation. They can't even share their salvation with people. You know what they say? Come to church with me. Why do I always invite people to church? They can't invite them to Jesus because they don't even know their own salvation. Can't help nobody get saved if you don't know your own salvation. Oh, we got a special salvation class for that. Now, that's your salvation should be taught to you every Sunday, every Thursday. You should be learning and growing, and you should know who you are. Shouldn't be in a special class. That's why, most people don't know it. They ain't going to that class. So again, faith is an action of trusting and believing, relying on and leaning on your entire confidence on Jesus and what he has already accomplished for you through his finished work. So beware of a person preaching and teaching faith without Jesus. I'm going to say that again. And I'm being very bold about this. And I'm not judging anyone. Here you go into church, because I was there and didn't know anything about my Savior Jesus. God this and God that. And like, I'm like, God, I believe in you. And God was like, I know you believe in me. Lord told me, I know you believe in me. Well, what's the problem? Your faith didn't have no substance. What? I didn't understand what he was saying. Your faith didn't, you didn't have faith in what my son had already accomplished for you. And you're out here preaching and teaching and trying to get people to come to church and get saved. Because that's the way they trained us. Come to church and preach 3 points and then have a celebration style at the end and get everybody excited. And I didn't know no better. I was just, you know, trying to answer my call. But when it wasn't working, because I was sincere and I was serious in my heart about living this thing for real, and I couldn't understand why it wasn't working, and I couldn't fake the funk. I wasn't going to fake the funk for nobody. It ain't working. I'm out of here. I've given my all. Wasn't hearing nothing about my Savior Jesus other than get saved and get saved. Well, I believe in him already. I'm already saved. What am I going to do about life? You know, these problems in my life. Well, you know, it's the sovereignty of God. You mean to tell me God want me to struggle with my mess? Well, you know, you got to do this. You got to understand some things you got to pay for because of the mistakes you made. That's good news. I got saved to struggle. I got saved to still go through the same problems of my life. I ain't preaching that mess to nobody. What's the purpose of getting saved if he ain't really helping me? I'm telling you how people think. Church wasn't working for them. So they left. They wanted real answers. Well, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the way out. So anyway, beware of a person. Beware when people preach and teach faith without Jesus as the subject and object of your faith. Jesus is the subject and object of our faith. If Jesus is not the subject and object of your faith, it will lead to misunderstanding and heresy. And you'll start having faith in faith. And you'll start a faith denomination. All right. The word confirms this in Hebrews 12:2, where it says, looking unto Jesus. Looking to who? Jesus, who is the author and the finisher. He's the beginner and in the end and the completer of our faith. So always remember that Jesus is the subject and the object of our faith. When you read Hebrews 12, I was reading that. The Lord was, you know, getting me to understand. I was like, Lord, it seems like I'm always bringing correction. What's the problem? He told me to read the rest of the chapter. He loved those whom he corrects. You're wrong about what you're thinking and believing. You're wrong about what you're learning in those churches. They believe in God, but they have no idea who they are and what they have. They're not preaching Jesus to you. They're preaching God to you, and they're preaching church to you, and they're giving you their philosophy, and they're preaching psychoanalytical stuff to you. They're preaching psychology to you. They're preaching self-helps to you in the name of God. How many times do they mention the name when they're preaching? I've been to church and sat there, and I never heard the name Jesus mentioned once in reverend sermon. You're going to see this today. We're supposed to preach Jesus to people. And that's what the devil don't want. He doesn't want people. He don't even want that name mentioned. Think about it. Christ is the Messiah, but his name is Jesus. Wow, it's just, you know what? Jesus is the Gentile's name. And the Bible says in Isaiah that the Gentiles shall trust in his name. Gentiles. That's un-Jewish people. That's what they considered us. Gentiles. And that name, Jesus, carries weight and authority in the spirit realm. It healed everybody else back in the day. Now we didn't got so religiously deep, theologically ignorant, that we don't even believe in the power of that name anymore. Very few people mention that name in their preaching. So always remember that Jesus is the subject and object of our faith. If it wasn't for Jesus, we would be going to hell. If it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't be saved. If it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't be adopted as the sons and daughters of the Most High God. God gave us Jesus, and we're supposed to be worshiping him and thanking him for the gift that keeps on giving. What's that? Jesus. Say the name. Say the name of Jesus, say the name so precious. There's no other name I know. Yeah. Say the name of Jesus. Say the name. Hallelujah. So precious. Glory to God. Say his name. What you scared of in your preaching? So the scripture says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith, so let's establish this right now. Faith is always in Jesus. New covenant faith. So faith in Jesus. What about faith in God? No, we have faith in what God has provided for us in Jesus. I'm going to say it again. What about God? We have faith in what God has provided for us in Jesus. God wants us to have faith in Jesus. Because he cannot bless us if we don't have faith in what the Lamb has done for us. I'll say that again. God can't bless us if we don't have faith in what the Lamb has done for us. It's all about what the Lamb done for us. Now, faith is the substance. So faith in Jesus is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. The substance of the things we hope for is what the Word of God promises us concerning Jesus. Say that again. The substance of the things, the Word of God, what God said concerning what we got in Jesus, the things that we have in Jesus, that's the substance. We hope for that, which is the Word of God, what the Word of God promised concerning Jesus. That's what our substance is. Now, this hope originally referred to Israel's expectation of the Messiah. That was their blessed hope. They were believing for the Messiah, but they tripped over the stumbling stone. They didn't recognize the Messiah when he came because they was all filled up with a head full of their religious traditions and systems that made the Word of God in none effect. So they couldn't recognize their visitation. So again, Paul is talking about these things concerning Jesus as the Messiah, as he's speaking in the book of Hebrews. He's giving them, he was telling them that the Messiah was to come, which he had already come. He was trying to get them to understand that Jesus was the Messiah that has come. So the evidence of things not seen means that they must believe in Jesus, even though they did not see him physically. So we believe in Jesus as the Messiah, even though we don't see him physically. We believe in the promises of God, even though we don't see them or understand logically how they're going to come to pass in our life. We do that in the financial arena. I don't understand how my prosperity is going to come, but it's going to come. Now he's got a divine strategy. He's got wisdom laid up for you on how to bring prosperity to you. I'll say that again. God has wisdom laid up for you on how he's going to bring prosperity to you. Your job is to believe that Jesus died to make you rich or make you prosperous or give you an abundant life. And as you serve and live godly, things will go well with you and prosperity will come upon you. Do you understand this? This is how this works. I'm not talking about worldly prosperity. You can prosper in the world. All you got to do is go out there and lie, cheat, steal, take advantage of people. People do that every day. There's plenty of people that are prosperous and millionaires and don't believe in God, believe in Jesus. And they say, oh, God has blessed me. God has not blessed you to sleep around and whore around and all of a sudden become this movie star and you got all this money and you're doing all this stuff and you got the audacity to get up there and say God's been good to you. You are deceived, child. You are deceived. God is not blessing your sin. He's having mercy. Now you can say, God has been merciful to me. Now you're telling the truth on God. He's been merciful to you because he's trying to save you.
Yes.
There's people right now that got plenty of millions that don't believe in God. So you can go out there in this world and make money. You're just making money through the God of Mammon. Got you deceived into thinking that it's the God of heaven. You got to know that there's a difference between the God of Mammon and the God of heaven. The God of Mammon don't care about how you live because money becomes your God. So that's who you actually celebrating when you say God's blessed me. Yeah, the God of Mammon will bless you because the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the God of heaven, the God of our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is not blessing your sin. Next. That's true. 1 Timothy 1 says, look what it says here. This is Paul's introduction as he's talking to young opening up this letter to young Timothy. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what I want you to see is, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Did you see that? So Jesus is our hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. And the Amplified, it reads this way. Paul, an apostle, was an apostle. He's an special messenger, personally chosen representative of who? Of Christ Jesus, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and of, look what it says here, of Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed one, our hope, the fulfillment of our salvation. So he is our hope and he is the fulfillment of our salvation. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Alrighty, praise the Lord. Now, we about done here. So, in Colossians 1:25-28, I'm going to look at the New King James. So, what I'm just giving you, these working definitions of hope. See, Jesus is our blessed hope. Understanding what substance is and what faith is. Faith is believing in Jesus, leaning on him, trusting in what he's done for us. So in Colossians 1:25-28, let's read that. New King James says, of which, this is Paul again speaking, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship of from God, which God from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. 26 says, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations. So God hid this plan. His plan, his wisdom, he says it was hidden, but now has been revealed to his saints. Verse 27 says, to them God willed to make known. This is God's will now. He willed to make known what is the riches and the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. These are non-Jewish people. So, see, God's plan was to save the entire world. Which is, now look at the mystery, which is Christ up in heaven.
Nope.
Yeah, he's there, but look, and he's simultaneously, he's there, he's with all of us. Which is Christ in you, the hope of what?
Glory.
So faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is the substance of things hoped for? Christ. The Messiah, Jesus. That's our blessed hope. That's what our hope is. So without Jesus, we have no hope. Many are they that say there's no hope for him and God. But thou, O Lord, are a shield for me. You talking about the Lord. Thou, O Jesus, are a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Jesus is. Oh, there ain't no hope for what y'all doing there. Jesus is with us. And you know, you got to understand, you know, you got to be willing to serve Jesus all by yourself.
Amen.
And we're proving that to the devil. We got to do this by ourselves, then we do it by ourselves, doggone it. I'm going to serve Jesus, and I'm talking about Jesus, and I ain't going to stop talking about Jesus, because he is the substance of my faith. I ain't going to hell preaching about something that ain't got nothing to do with Jesus to try and impress people to get a big crowd. I can't do it anyway. Thank God I don't have that grace of gab, that gift of gab. Thank you, Lord, for letting me see the light of the simplicity of the gospel. It takes you getting delivered from all that stuff so you can see the simplicity of the gospel. You got to get delivered from your soulish man, your intellectual pride and arrogance, so you can really get to the simplicity of the gospel. Devil don't want nobody to see the truth. Because once you know who you are in Christ, you can take authority over the enemy in your life. And you can help others for real. Look what this says in 28. So the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we what?
Preach.
So I was talking about it earlier. It is him we preach. It is Jesus that we preach. We preach him. We preach him. That's what Paul went and did. He preached Jesus. And that's how churches are established. Preaching Jesus. People come to know who Jesus is. Then they become a part of him. They become a part of the ecclesia, the taken out of the world system and put into the kingdom of God. Not just having programs to entertain your flesh and tantalize your intellect. A simple message about the Lordship of Jesus Christ is all you need. Finding out who he is and what he's done. It's working. It's working here. Amen. You know what? 12 spies went over into the promised land and they came back with some big old fruit. Two of them said, we'd be well able to go over there. Mm-hmm. The 10, and they represented the leadership. Well, we'd be not able. So get this, following the crowd stopped them from entering into the promised land. Following the crowd will stop you from entering into the promises of God.
Yeah.
Just because everybody is doing something don't mean God is in it. That's the truth. You think that because everybody's doing it, God's in it. No, he's not in everything everybody doing. He's in the simplicity of the gospel being preached about Jesus. Where are all the miracles? No one's preaching about the miracle worker. Jesus, the anointed one, and his anointing. Mm-hmm. You want to follow somebody else walking around talking about how anointed they are. People start talking about how anointed they are. I turn around and go the other way. Because they are not my savior. Jesus is the anointed one. And it's his anointing that will break yokes and destroy burdens in a person's life. So when I preach Jesus, he shows up and manifests himself through the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
So I ain't preaching that junk that folks want to hear. I'm not trying to entertain people or try to be some special person or trying to see and people say, Brother Larry, you know, your church. There's nowhere in this Bible that says Brother Larry got a church. Can't find it yet. It's Jesus's church. And that's your problem. You think the church is that pastor's church. And you're comparing people by people. And you're not having a relationship with Jesus Christ, your Lord. So him we preach. Him we preach. I'm going to say it again. This is the scriptures. Him we preach. Look what it says here. Paul said, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Perfect in Christ Jesus. In Jesus, we preach who you are and what you have to form Christ in you. That's why you go to church, to get Christ formed in you. Now, if you don't know that, it's because you ain't reading the Bible. Are they not? And they most likely they ain't preaching the Bible to you. They're preaching one scripture and they close the Bible and they preach at you. All that foolishness, man. You don't know your Savior. And people like that are going to hell. I remember I told you that my very first trial sermon is what they had. I had no idea really what I was talking about. I just really wanted to talk about Mary Magdalene and how Jesus went to heaven to sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. That's all I knew. That's fascinated me. And here come this man walking up that I believe was the head usher. And he's standing there and it's like everybody looking like, what are you up here for? You know, he's like, I just realized I ain't saved. What? You ain't saved? Do you know how many people go to church and ain't saved? But they think they are because they're a member of the church and they believe in God. Do you understand? You can be a member of the church and believe in God and not be saved. Salvation is your faith in Jesus. Do you really have faith in him? Do you really know what he's done for you? Do you really know who you are in him? Do you really know what you have in him? See, when you know who you are and what you have, your prayer life changes. You start begging God to heal you, and you understand that healing is your covenant right in Christ Jesus. And everything changes. Prosperity is your covenant right. But if no one's teaching you that, that's how they got healed by Jesus in his day. They was just acting on their covenant right that they had based on the old covenant. That if they confessed it, they would get healed of it.
Yeah.
And Jesus' blood covenant is much better. have a better covenant than the old covenant. Better covenant means that we're supposed to be sickly and vaguely and wallowing around. And, you know, no. What's better about that? What makes our covenant better is we become God's children.
Yes.
Whereas they was just his servant. We become his sons and daughters of the Most High God. We have a father, son, daughter, family relationship with our Father, who is King and Judge. He has our best interests at heart all the time.
Come on.
And he just wants to lavish his love on you. Whew. So anyway, we preach Jesus. And what God has provided for us in Jesus. That's what you're supposed to be hearing when you go to church. When you go fellowship. I don't even like saying go to church. You are the church. You go to assemble. You go to a fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
You are the church. You go to assemble yourselves. And fellowship. And worship God for his goodness and mercy. And praise God for the King of kings and Lord of lords. Our Savior Jesus Christ. Who we are being conformed into his image. Do you understand that? You go to church because you're being conformed into his image.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And if you, well, we want to close on this. I want to close on Colossians 19. We're going to look at Colossians 1, 19 through 23. Then we're going to look at Colossians 2, 4 through 10. All right. Let's go here. I was about to say, ready, read. I ain't got no reader. No, it is actually on the screen. Ready, read. For it pleased the Father. I'll read it. Ready, read. No. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness of the Godhead should dwell. Or all the fullness should dwell. 20. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. Did you see that? So we have peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies were in your own mind by wicked works. In other words, we're mad at God ignorantly doing things to hurt ourselves, not understanding that God always has our best interest in heart. And he wants us to live right so things will go well with us. And he came to help us live right. So there's no reason for us not to live right. People ain't living right. You ain't living godly and holy. It's because you don't want to. You don't want to. Because when you want to live right, you cry out to God for help. Deliver me. Help me. Set me free. And he will. 21. And you who once were alienated. And I'm going to say that again. Because you don't want to live right. My spiritual father used to say that. Brother Larry. Yeah, Brother Barry. People don't want to live right. They don't want to live right. And you who are once alienated enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Why did he do that? This is why Jesus did it. To present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. So in the sight of God, you are holy, you are blameless, and you are above reproach in his eyesight. Verse 23 is important. For indeed, if indeed you continue in the faith. In other words, if you continue to believe that, if you continue to believe that in the faith is what Jesus has done for you. If you continue to be in that, grounded and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, that God, word gospel means of the good news which you heard. So the question is, are you really hearing the good news? Are you just going to hear about how you can get more money and how you can get a bigger house and how you can get a better job? And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're sitting there all the time trying to get something, not understanding that God's already blessed you, baby. Your problem is you're not trying to figure out what God wants you to do for him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What that mean? That means seek ye first the advancement of God's kingdom. Do you want the stuff for yourself, or do you want it to, so that God can empower you to expand his kingdom? He'll put you in a higher paying pay scale so that you can reach more people for Jesus. So you want to get more money so you can go out and party more and drink more and smoke more. Well, you're on the devil's territory. Soon as things fall apart, you go to God and run to church. Oh, God, help me, help me, help me, help me. And he loves you. He'll have mercy on you. What do? You go right back to the world and you continue to sin. Well, eventually, he's going to say, okay, I've given you time. I've given you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to repent and come live godly. Obviously, you don't want to. I love you, says the Lord, but I ain't got nowhere to send you except for hell with the demons that you want to play with and have fun. They don't pull you down. You know, you can have fun being saved. You ain't got to put all that poison in your body and do all that old crazy stuff. You see that? So you got to continue in the good news of the gospel. Let's look at Colossians 2, 4, 10. Now, look what it says in verse 4. Now this I say, lest you should be deceived with persuasive words. So how do people get deceived? Persuasive words, stuff that sound good. Oh, man, my pastor sure can preach. Ask him, what you learn in church today? What you learning? What are you learning? How is it helping you live godly? Is what he preaching you changing your life, or is this something that sounds good to make you feel good? Are you still bawling and squalling and boo-hooing, talking about all your problems, I'm depressed, and this, that, and the other? Then, I don't know, you might not be taught who you are and what you have in Jesus. You're just going to church because it's a good pickup. I want to feel good. But you ain't being good. Why? Because they're not teaching you to be good. They want you to come fill the seats up. So they can say y'all had church and, you know, God loves you and all that stuff. And he does. But ultimately, God wants you to change and live holy and righteous unto him. And that's the hope, the deliverance from our old nature, our old sin man, so we can live in our righteous man. That's the truth. And I'm not trying to get on nobody, but that is the truth. And that's the hope of glory. That's the substance of our faith. And our blessings, godliness is the prerequisite to all of our blessings. Mm-hmm. God wants you to live godly so it'll go well with you. Stop sleeping around and shacking up and having sex with this person and that person. You ain't doing nothing. You keep bringing all these babies into the world and don't want to parent them. And then you're mad and you want to send them to child support court. Well, he should take care of his responsibilities. Neither one of y'all really wanted a baby. Y'all just wanted to have sex. All righty, let's go ahead. Yeah, we've been there, done that. We've been there, done that. Ain't judging nobody. We've been there, done that. We came together and, you know, praise the Lord. He can fix it if you want it fixed. Amen. See, ain't nobody preaching that to you. You know why? Because that thins the church out. Reverend judging. No, he's trying to help you live right so it'll go well with you. You have to change. Insanity is going to church, hearing a good message, and not hearing something that you can apply in your life to change. That's deception. What is the purpose? That serves no purpose. You go and you never change. There's nothing that never changes in your life. Nothing never changes. That ain't what God intended that for. So that's, you know, so I'm trying to teach people how to do it. But this is the foundation. We're going to get into some things as we continue. If you can handle what I'm teaching today, we can move forward and you'll get some great things. So anyway, look what it says here in verse 5. For though I am absent in the flesh, this is Paul speaking, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in what? Your faith in what? Your faith in Christ. Who is Christ? Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. See, that's what your faith. No, it didn't say God. We know you believe in God. Do you believe in what God provided for you? And Jesus is the question. I'll say it again. I know you believe in God. Do you believe in what God has provided for you? And Jesus is the question. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, walk in him. Got that highlighted. That's what we're supposed to walk in. Walk in him. Now the question is, do you want to walk in him? And look what he says in verse 7. Rooted and built up in him. In who? In Jesus. So, the substance of our faith, everything is about what Jesus has done for us and walking in Him. If you're not hearing about Him and how to walk in Him and how to be more like Him, you are in a place that is deceiving you from the truth and the simplicity of the gospel. We're supposed to walk in Jesus. We're supposed to be rooted and grounded, according to verse 7, rooted and grounded in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught. See that word, at taught. So that means Paul taught them this. Paul taught them how to walk in Jesus. Paul taught them how to walk in Jesus. I'll say it again. Paul taught them how to walk in Jesus. Abounding in it with thanksgiving. Look what he says. This is one of my favorite scriptures here to help people. Beware lest anyone cheats you. How do you get cheated from the power of the gospel of Christ Jesus in your life? Through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principle of the world. They're using worldly marketing strategies to pull you into their social club that they call church. You go for the socialization of it. And there's nothing wrong with going with a good church. But are you learning about Jesus? Are you changing? Are you changing? Is it transforming your heart? Is it stopping you from wanting to sin and do things that you used to do? You know, are you shunning evil? Do you hate ungodliness and you want righteousness now? Really? Or it's just, I'm just going to church and you know, that's a good pastor, that's a good reverend, you know, I'll shut up all that stuff. Are you wanting to change for real? That's the blessed hope that Jesus lives in us to change us. I'll say it again. Jesus lives in us to change us. He makes us better. So he says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Look at verse 10. And you are complete in Him. You are complete in Him. You are complete in Him. In Christ, who is the head of all principalities and powers. You are complete. So why are you talking about all the problems? You're complete and whole. See, if you're talking about that, it's because you're not walking in Him. And you're not being taught how to do it. And sometimes you just got to sit back and ask yourself, what am I really learning? Don't be emotionally attached to people and things and places. Am I growing? And am I a different person? You got to ask those questions. Is Jesus really living on the inside of me? Is He the joy of my life? Is He the lover of my soul? Do I really love what God has gave me in Jesus? Can I find who I am in the Bible? Do I know who I am in Christ when I open up this book? If you don't know these things, you are being cheated. And like, there's a lot of people like me that walked away from the church because I love God, but it wasn't working in my life for real. And I got tired of all the hypocrisy. How come y'all struggling and sleeping around everybody in the church? Because you're not being built up and taught Jesus Christ and how to crucify your flesh. You're not serious about living godly for real. And I'm not talking about that old mean religious godliness where everybody mean and nasty. I'm talking about love where you're letting the Holy Spirit and peace and change your life. All right. Well, that's all for now. I'm going to continue the next time we fellowship assemble here on Thursday. We're going to look at part 1B, the substance of faith. In that, we're going to talk about, I got three sections. We're going to talk about faith begins with Jesus. The simplicity of the gospel is going to be section 2. Section 3 is going to be what Jesus has already accomplished for us. All righty. I love you. I pray that you continue to grow and overflow in who you are and what you have in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord God, for this word today. Amen.